This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, we are here because you gave us the breath of life. We are here because you loved us, even when we were still sinners. Empowered us to save ourselves. You saved us. We are here because you saved us, because of your grace and your love for us, God. We are here because you sustain us. Lord, you gave us life this morning. You loved us this morning. And your grace, even in our weakness, is made perfect in and through us. And Lord, so as we come to you this afternoon, we pray that, Lord, you will speak to us. Oh Lord, that your words may remain in our hearts. That we will forget the words of man, but your words will remain. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are very excited to be here today. I'm very excited. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are humbled to be here because we are only a flower in a field of many flowers in Gansbach. And we are not here to be something, but simply to be part of what God is already doing. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's God who builds his church and his church will advance. I mean, it's amazing to understand God's heart for church, that he is the one that establishes, he's the one that builds, and he says his church will advance. It will advance against the gates of hell and hell will not prevail against it. And that's really what excites me about being here this afternoon is being part of what God is doing. We are here today not to do something new or to do something different as such, but really to be part of what God is doing in Gansbach. It's a privilege to be part of what he is doing. I remember coming to the Overberg. It's one of the words God laid on my heart, that you're not coming here to do something new or to do something different, but to be part of what I'm already doing. And God has been building his church in Gansbach for decades. This is not something new or something different. This is just, we are just fresh legs to the front line to help push the line again. That's all we are. Nothing new, nothing different. It's God that builds his church. And he has a heart for Gansbach, he has a heart for his church in Gansbach. And as such, like I say, I think if anything, we are just fresh legs to the front line so that we can push this line again so that the kingdom can advance against hell and know that hell will not prevail, but God's kingdom will. There's a spiritual war going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, the word became flesh, to establish the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. In the midst of fallen, broken world, God sent his son to establish the kingdom of light. And the word of God became flesh, born of a virgin. And his name was Jesus. And he came to establish, plant the flag that the kingdom of God has come in the midst of this world. And so Jesus began his ministry with a simple message. We read of this in Mark chapter 1 from verse 14 to 15. I've been sharing this often now in Hermanus. But after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is Jesus' life. This was Jesus' message. He came to establish the kingdom and usher us into that through his grace and by faith. And so we stand here today because of him and no one else. But Jesus not only came to establish the kingdom of God, he came to break the power of darkness. He came to break and overcome the power of darkness, which is sin and death. Jesus came not just to establish something new, but to break the power of sin and death, that is the power of darkness, so that man can be free to go into the kingdom of light. But Jesus establishing the new and living way for us to be reconciled to God by breaking this power that we were all under. We were all under the curse. We were all under the power of sin and death. And Jesus came to break what imprisoned us so that we can be free to follow him. And he established a new and living way for us to be reconciled with God, giving us an opportunity to enter in the kingdom of God through faith by his grace. We cannot earn it. The price is too high. It is too difficult. That's what the law was for. The law proved to us that we cannot earn salvation. We cannot achieve God's standard. So God sent his son to become sin for us, to pay the price for us, so that we, through faith, may be redeemed because of his grace, and that we can come into his presence without fear and without constraint. And so we are standing here today because of what God has done 2,000 years ago, and that what he's still doing to this very day, saving the lost, paying the price, and calling us to his Father. And so we all need to respond to this grace that he has given us. And if we choose to believe God that Jesus is indeed the Son sent to save us through his sacrifice, if we choose to believe and to accept him as our Savior and King by turning from this world and embracing him and following him, God declares that you are not only forgiven. And this is the amazing thing about salvation. Jesus did not just come to forgive us of our sins, but to call us back to his family, back into his fold as it is, and to really say, but I'm not just redeeming and justifying you. I'm calling you as my own, as my son and my daughter, and I'm sealing you with my spirit, the same spirit that was on my son, and I call you my own, and I make you a co-heir with Christ, and I give you eternal life so that you can be with me forever. That is the good news of the gospel. It's something that we cannot earn or achieve, but something that God has done for us, given his life for us, and has given us so much more than just forgiveness. So much more than just being justified. But he calls us his own. He calls us children, his own children. Makes us a co-heir with Christ. Seals us with his spirit. And gives us eternal life. That is the gospel. It's a great gospel. It's good news. It's an amazing God that we serve that is willing to do so much for each and every one of us. And it is a privilege to be in his kingdom. And what is so amazing, it is through the serving or the sharing, it is through the sharing of the gospel, this good news, that men and women to this very day is being forgiven, redeemed, justified, embraced as children, sealed with the Spirit, made children of God, become new creations in Christ, be seated with him, and have an inheritance. It is through the sharing of the gospel that people get saved. And so Romans 1 verse 15 says, "For I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." I was eager to come here to preach the gospel, hopefully not only to those who already know it, but really to be able to create a platform and an opportunity, an environment where people will go from this place with this gospel to those who have not yet heard, believed, or embraced it, so that they too can share in the glory and the privilege and the peace and the joy of being called a child of God, knowing the embrace of a loving God, and being able to live in the fullness that he has come to give. So we stand here as Paul writes, "For I am eager to preach the gospel to you also in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." So it is the sharing of the gospel, the proclamation of God's love, his mercy, and his grace, that people are being saved. And more than that, it is the power of God. In his wisdom, God has chosen that it is through the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel that men and women are saved. Everywhere, all over the world to this very day, people are being saved because they hear the gospel. They hear the testimony of children of God, of God's love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, and more than that, life. Life with him that each and every one of us can have. So Romans continue in chapter 10 that says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they do not believe? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And we are here today because of this good news. We are here because of this gospel. We are here because we have responded to this great news of God's love, his grace, and more than that, his life that he has for us. It is so simple yet so powerful. Sharing God's love with others. That's really what the gospel is. And so we are here today because God loves all of us. God loves all of us here today. God sent his son for all of us. God died for all of us. He was raised for all of us. And he promised eternal life for all of us. And more than that, he said, "I'm coming back for all of us." All you need to do is to believe his word. All you need to do is to believe him. It's so powerful to understand that it is faith in God that saves us. Faith in God's word that saves us. It's actually faith in God's testimony about Jesus that saves us. For it is God himself that says that Jesus is the Son of God. It is God that declares that this Jesus is not just my son, he is the sacrifice for your life. It's God that says that through faith you can have the salvation that I have paid for and that it is finished. And that you can have the confidence to come to me without fear. It's God that says, believe in me. So when we believe in Jesus, really what we're doing is we're believing in the word of God. As a matter of fact, it is the word that became flesh and dwelled amongst us. That's called Jesus. And in a sense, really, we're back in the Garden of Eden where God said, everything is yours for your benefit, for your blessing, for your enjoyment, except one tree. If you eat of it, you will die. So God gave man life, and he gave man instruction, and he gave man the word of God, which is life. And man, unfortunately, got to a point where he had to choose when an alternative was presented. When Satan came and said, well, did God really say, did God really mean? And so man was presented with an alternative, and man chose not to believe God. God says, if you eat of it, you will die. The devil gave an alternative and said, if you eat of it, you will not die. And man had to choose whether he's going to believe the word of God or he's going to believe an alternative. And unfortunately, man made a choice not to believe the word of God. And we suffered the consequences of that choice. Sin and death came into the world, but God loved us so much that he sent us his word to become flesh. And lived amongst us so that we could see and hear once again. And so Jesus is standing before us as the word. And God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Life is in my son. So the gospel really is responding in faith to the word of God. It's so powerful, yet so simple that a 5-year-old can embrace the truth and be saved. And so God has given us the word and we have chosen to believe him. We have chosen to put our trust in Christ. And so we are saved because of faith. But just before Jesus went back to the Father, he gave us a final instruction. After Jesus came to establish the kingdom, overcome sin and death, and made a public spectacle of the enemy, disarming them and proclaiming the victory, Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father, but don't worry, I'm coming back. As you are waiting for me, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus stood up and he said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of age. So this is the final instruction. This is the summary of what we, his children, are meant to do while we're waiting for his return. Is to go with the gospel, the good news, and share it with others. Bring others into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, before you do anything, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise. This is what I want you to do while you're waiting for me. But before you do anything, I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes, he will empower you to be witnesses. He will give you the ability to share the good news, the gospel, to the whole world. And you will have the privilege to see how others enter into the same grace that you are standing in. And so God gave us not just a commandment, but he also gave us the ability. The Holy Spirit came to empower us to be witnesses. We all have the same salvation. We all have the same commission. And we all have the same Spirit, with the same longing and expectation that we will take what we have freely received and share it with those around us. And it's in the sharing of the love and the grace and the life of Christ that others are saved also. You know what is so amazing to note is that when God called you and me, he didn't call us because we were perfect. He didn't even call us because we necessarily had great abilities and talents. He called us because he loved us. And then he poured his Spirit within us so that everything that we lacked can be complete. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you and me. And therefore we can boldly say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And his Spirit has given me the ability to do what God has called me to do. God is not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for willing people. He's not looking for perfect people. Because he's already perfected you in Christ. He's looking for willing people. Perfection is not an issue with God. He has made us perfect in Christ. He's simply looking for willing people. Before I came here, someone told me, you must remember, Hansby is full of fishermen. I said, that's amazing. Because Jesus picked fishermen. Jesus didn't pick the educated, the powerful, the wealthy, the influential. He was not looking for perfect people. He was simply looking for willing people. It's amazing to see if you read the account of Jesus calling his disciples. He simply said, follow me. You know what they did? Immediately, they left everything and they followed him. They might have not been the brightest, the most influential or powerful people. But they were willing people. And Jesus took 12 unknown, disempowered young men and changed the world. Simply because they were willing. So Jesus is not looking for perfect people. He's simply looking for willing people. God chose a young shepherd boy. His name was David. Remember the story? He wasn't the wealthiest, the strongest, or the most handsome. He was the smallest of them all. As a matter of fact, the father didn't even think of bringing him to the prophet. And God chose him not because he was handsome, big, or strong, but because he was willing. He had faith in God. And so we went to face a giant that was impossible to overcome, where everybody else feared and trembled. Even the most mighty warriors in Israel were too afraid. You know, David, he didn't even fit in the armor. He didn't even fit. But it didn't matter to God, because David had faith in God. David had faith in God, and he was willing. And God says, David, I will use you to kill Goliath. And he was big. And David was small. But David had faith and he was willing. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. He was willing and he was not afraid. And when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000 and he asked the disciples and they had not enough money nor any means or understanding how to possibly feed 5,000 men and women and children added onto that, there was a young little boy who came in faith with 2 fish and 5 loaves. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. But you know what? This little boy, he had faith and trust. But more than that, he was willing to give. What was not enough, he was willing to give it to Jesus. You know what Jesus did? He took the 5 pieces of bread and the 2 fish and he multiplied it. Because Jesus is not looking for willing people or for perfect people or able-bodied. He's just looking for willing people. This little boy brought what was clearly not enough, but he was willing to share it. And Jesus took that and he fed thousands with it. And so we can continue. Oh, remember Caleb. He was an old man. He was in his 80s by the time the promise finally happened. Remember, he was sent out as a young man as a spy. And God showed him the world. And he had faith. He had trust in God. He saw that God opened the seas. He saw Jesus. Or he saw the word. He saw God open the Jordan River. And he knew that God was real. He knew that if God was for them, nothing will be able to stand before them. And he came back with a good report in faith. And where the other spies saw all the challenges, all the circumstances, and everything that was impossible, 2 men had faith. Oh, they had to wait a long time. As a matter of fact, when the Israelites finally got to the promised land, Caleb was 80 years old. And when Joshua started to divide, an old man himself started to divide the nation under the different tribes and the young warriors of the tribes. And Joshua was busy dividing the land. Caleb came to Joshua and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Joshua, remember the word of God spoken to us while we were still young. Give me Hebron. Give me Hebron. Because the same God that opened the seas will give this land." You know what Hebron was? It was the mountainous part of the promised land where the giants lived. The young men, they didn't want it. But Caleb, at 80, tapped Joshua on the shoulder and said, "Remember the word of God spoken to us. Give me Hebron." Because he was willing. He was not just believing, he was willing. And so God gave him Hebron. And they went to slay the giants as an old man. Because God is not looking for perfect people. He's still looking for willing people. All of these men had something in common. They believed God's word and they were willing. Remember Jesus at the well when the woman came with the empty pot to get water and there was this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman and she got saved and the disciples coming back being confused. How is this possible that Jesus is so energized, so excited? He was weak, he was weary just a few hours ago, resting in the shade. And look at him go. And they asked him, and they've asked one another, "Did someone give him something to eat?" And Jesus responded to them. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work." That's Jesus. He says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then come the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the field." Jesus is saying something powerful. Somebody told me, you know, maybe the time is not right now. Maybe we should wait a while. Do you not say 4 months and then comes the harvest? It's a saying we use today when we say, Rome wasn't built in a day. Take your time. 4 months and then comes the harvest. You know, it takes 4 months from plowing the land, sowing the seed, watering the seed, waiting for the harvest. It takes 4 months before the harvest comes. And Jesus says, "Do you not say 4 months and then comes the harvest?" Then Jesus responds. He says, "Look up, look at me. Behold, I say to you, the harvest, it's already white. It's already white." As a matter of fact, you know, I come from a farming background. If the harvest is white, it means you cannot leave it any longer. It's going to rot. You can't wait another 4 months. I know you say you must still plow and it's hard ground and you must sow and you must, it's going to take time. But Jesus says, I want you to look up to me. Look up to me. Look up to me. I say to you, the harvest is already white. And then he says something powerful that encouraged me so much. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reap. I have sent you to reap for that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. I'm here today because I had to wrestle through God's word when he said, I want you to look up. The harvest, it's white. Oh, sometimes we look at our town. Sometimes we look at our family. Sometimes we look at the people around us and we think, Lord, this is so difficult. This is so hard. Yes, we see in one way, but God sees in another way. And God says, I don't want you to look at your circumstances. I want you to look to me. I say to you, the harvest is white. Don't say it's still 4 months. I tell you it's white. Something that encouraged me, but I shared in the beginning, we didn't come here to start something. Someone else has started something. For decades, faithfully, God's servants have been sowing in Gansbaai. And they've been reaping. But we are not here to start something new. If anything, at best, we are here to share in the labors of others. Like Frikkie and Dion and all the other ministers that were before them, who have sowed faithfully over the years and have harvested on the way. We are not here to do something new. We are simply here because Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord to send more laborers. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm doing this afternoon. I'm simply going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Because God says the harvest is white. The problem is not the harvest. It's the laborers. There are just too few laborers. Ask me for more laborers. So this afternoon, I didn't come for any other reason but to pray for you and me. That we will have faith. Not in what we see, but in what God says. Because God is not looking for perfect people. He's simply looking for willing people. Oh, maybe you are here today and you're not sure. I don't know you yet, but I know God has already chosen you. That's why you are here. Maybe you're like Gideon. Maybe you think you are small. Maybe you think you're insignificant. Maybe you think like Gideon, I'm the least of the families of Israel. But I want to declare to you the same way God declared to Gideon, get up, you mighty man of valor. I see differently than you. Maybe you see yourself as being small and insignificant and unable, but God says to you today, I don't know who you are, sir, but God is saying, you're a mighty man of valor. I don't know. Maybe you're not sure, but I want to encourage you. God has already given you His Holy Spirit to empower you to do what He has called you to do. If you are willing to rise up with Him, God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. As a matter of fact, He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore. And then with this amazing promise at the end, I am with you. I'm with you always. All God is asking us is to be willing and to believe His word. He has given us His Spirit to help us, to empower us. The question is, are we willing? What does that mean? Well, for some of us, it simply means that we are honest before God and we say, God, I cannot see. I cannot see this harvest. You say it's white, but God, I don't see that. I see all the challenges and all the heartache and all the stubbornness and all the religion and all the worldliness, God, but But I choose to believe. I choose to put my trust in you, God. So I ask you, God, that you will open my eyes to see. For some of us this afternoon, it's a simple prayer. Lord, help me to see. I want to believe. Help me in my unbelief. Open my eyes. Maybe like the prophet's servant, when the prophet opened his eyes, Isaiah opened his servant's eye because he was afraid when he saw the armies of the enemy coming to open his eyes because he couldn't understand why the prophet was so calm and so confident, because the prophet could see. He could see the hosts of the heavenly armies around him. And he opened the eyes of the servant to see that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And maybe for some of us here this afternoon, it's simple prayer that, Lord, open my eyes to see what you're seeing. For some of us, maybe it's simply just to pray with an expectation. It's to pray with an expectation. To pray, God, you say the laborers are few. Lord, I ask that you will send more laborers. I want to warn you, when you pray that prayer, God will probably send you. But for some of us, that's all you need to do. For some of us this afternoon, it's just a commitment to say, Lord, I'm going to pray for this harvest. You say it's plentiful. You say it's not the harvest, but the laborers. So, Lord, I'm praying this afternoon that you will send more laborers, and then you will hear him speak to you. I guarantee you this. You can have your money back if it doesn't work. If you pray that prayer, the Lord will say, who shall we send? Maybe you must make like the prophet and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Because he's already called you. He's already saved you. He's already anointed you. Or maybe for some of us here this afternoon, God is simply expecting you to revisit the calling and a dream and a purpose he's already given you. Maybe you were a young man or a young woman when he spoke to you. Maybe you've grown cold. Or not cold, old, I hope, and not cold. But maybe you have grown old like Caleb. And you have not seen the promise of God, the word that he's given you, the vision of this promised land. Maybe you have not seen it yet. Well, this afternoon, God is simply reminding you of that word. I don't know who you are. Maybe you think you are getting old. Well, God says, I'm not looking for perfect or able people. I'm still looking for willing people. All you need to do is to trust me. Put your faith in me. So maybe you're here this afternoon and God just wants you to bring that vision, bring that calling, bring that passion back to him and say, God, here I am. I have not forgotten your word. I've not forgotten it. I've cherished it in my heart. Maybe for some of you, this simply means that you need to invite people to church. Just invite people. I'm not saying invite them to this church. Invite them to any church. The kingdom, like that word, was so beautiful. It's a field of flowers. It's not just one flower. There are many flowers in this town. And together we form a picture. Together we form the kingdom. Together we form the body of Christ. But for some of us, it simply means that you need to step out in faith because God says the harvest is white. And just start to invite people to church. You don't even need to evangelize them. Just invite them to church. Because if it's true that the harvest is white, why should we not invite them? Why should not bring them to church, to this church, to any church? And go with them and pray for them. And be expectant that God would speak to them through the preaching of the word. And that they may be saved. Because that's what God has called us. So for some of us, it's simply to step out in faith and start to invite people again with an expectation and a passion to see lives change. For some of us, it simply means that we need to share our faith with others. Just share what God has done with you with an expectant heart to go with the friends and the families and the colleagues around us. And when God grants us an opportunity to share what God has done for us, there's nothing more powerful than a testimony. The testimony is the gospel made real through your lives. I remember as a young man, I used to hitchhike quite a lot. And it was such an amazing thing, especially when I was in YOM training to become a missionary. Everybody who picks you up wants conversation. So always they ask you, so what do you do? And then it's, well, I'm busy training to become a missionary. And then from there, it's all over. Then it's, who's God? Where does God from? All these questions. And your most powerful thing that I've realized over all my many, many thousands of miles of hitchhiking is the fact that people can't deny me. They can try to deny God, but they can't deny me. Because here I am next to them. I have a relationship with God. I know you don't believe in Him, but I do. And I don't just believe in Him. I know Him. I have a relationship with Him. And look, I'm sane. I'm normal. I'm not crazy. You know, I'm just a normal, everyday guy that met with God. He changed my life. And I still have a relationship with Him. People can't deny you. They can't deny your testimony. Because it's real. That's why the Bible says, in the end, we will overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the fact that we were not afraid to lay down our lives for Him. Those three things will overcome Him every time. What God has done, and our testimony of what He's done, and our willingness to give everything as proof for that. That will overcome the enemy every single time. So I want to encourage you, maybe you're one of those fives. Maybe you simply need to pray that God may help you to see, or to pray for more laborers, or to revisit the calling, the prophecy, the passion God has given you, to invite people to church, or simply just to share your faith, your testimony, the gospel with others. I'm going to end here, but I want us just to close in prayer. Father, today, we want to thank You for what You have done for us through Your Son. God, we want to thank You, Lord, that even though we did not deserve it, Lord, You had mercy and grace upon us. You loved us. You gave Your Son to pay, to redeem, to restore us. Oh Lord, we want to thank You for this great love that You have lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that You have sealed us with Your Holy Spirit. And that You have lifted us up. You made us a new creation, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and made us a co-heir with Your Son. You filled us with Your Spirit, empowered us so that we can be witnesses. And today again, You are just sending us out. You're sending us out with the same words as Your Son did before He left. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, what are you waiting for? What are you afraid of? I have overcome sin, death, every power, every principality. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything belongs to Me. Nothing is impossible for Me. Therefore, go. Go into the world. Share the good news. Share the gospel. Share your life. And make disciples. Oh, baptize them in My name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. I am with you. I'm with you always. Oh, Father, I thank You for this great salvation, but also this great privilege to be part of this kingdom. And not just to be in it, but to be part of its purpose, its mission, is to see the lost saved. Lord, I pray that this afternoon, if anything, Lord, this will be the only thing that remains, that You love us, that You've called us, that You've empowered us, and that You have sent us. Not to be alone, but to be with You. Oh Lord, You are in the harvest. That's where You are. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will grant us the faith to trust Your word and to believe. But more than that, God, I ask this afternoon that You will make us willing. That You will make us willing to respond to Your word. To take hold of Your word. And to share Your word. So Lord, this afternoon, I want to pray. I want to pray for those who needs to see. Like Elisha's servant. Maybe you hear this afternoon and you hear these words and you're thinking, but I want to believe, but I cannot see. I do not see this harvest. I do not see it. If you are here this afternoon and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you have a desire to see the harvest that Jesus is talking about, you see this is hard soil. You see this is still a lot of sowing, a lot of plowing, a lot of watering needed to be done, but you want to see the harvest. If that is you, while all the eyes are closed, if that is you this afternoon and you are asking, you realize God is speaking to you and you need to see, your eyes need to open. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I pray that you will open my eyes. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for those hands. You can just, as you raise, you can just drop them again. It's just between you and the Lord. Say, Lord, today I ask that you will open my eyes. Lord, I pray for every hand that has responded right now. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you will come supernaturally. Holy Spirit, that you will come and open eyes to see, Lord. Like that servant, Lord, that they may see that you are far greater than those who are against us. That your army is far greater than those who are against us. And that your word is true, Lord. I pray that you'll open our eyes to see the harvest, see the lost, Lord. See the need, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will visit us as we go to our workplaces, to our friends, and to our homes, Lord. That Holy Spirit, that you will continually open our eyes just to see the harvest, Lord. I pray for a passion, Lord, as we see, Lord, that we will respond, Lord, in Jesus' name. And maybe you are here this afternoon and you need to hear. Maybe you're like Samuel. Maybe you are not sure about hearing God's call for your life. Maybe you say, yes, it sounds great, but I don't know if God has called me. I just want to know. I just want to hear that God is sending me. I need a word. I need an affirmation. I need the Father's voice to encourage me to take that step of faith. If that is you and you need a word, I just want you to respond by just raising your hand just where you are. Just where you are, it's just between you and the Lord. Lord, I thank you for each and every hand, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you will open ears to hear this call that you have for each and every one. Lord, I'm not asking for a generic call, Lord. I'm asking for a personalized, individual call on those hands, Lord, that has been raised. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have already chosen them. Lord, they have such a desire just to hear your voice, your affirmation, and you're sending them. Lord, we need that more than anything in life, is to know you speaking to us personally, Lord. So I pray, Lord, for those hands, Lord, that have been raised. Lord, I pray that you will speak to them, Holy Spirit, that you will come and affirm, confirm, and speak over them, Lord. That they will have an undeniable word, that you love them, that you have called them, that you want to use them, Lord. Thank you, God, that as they open the word, Lord, that you will speak to them. In Jesus' name, Lord. And I want to pray, if you are here and maybe like the prophet Isaiah, you need to respond. You need to respond to this call. I don't know who you are, but I'm not talking about responding to a call for the harvest. I mean responding to God's call for your life. He wants you. And maybe you've never responded before. But today God is calling you. He's calling you to be his son, to be his daughter. He's not calling you to do anything yet. He's just calling you to be his son. He says, I love you. I've loved you always. From the day that you took your first breath to this very day, I still love you. I want you to be mine. If that is you and you need to respond to God's call, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? I sense there's someone else that needs to respond. It's your first time that you're going to give your life to God. Is there anyone else? You can drop those hands again. God, I want to thank you for the response to your call today, Lord. I thank you, God, that as they choose to respond to you today, Lord, I thank you even right now, Holy Spirit, that you will fill them where they are seated, in their seats, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and that you will impart your life, your identity, your purpose, your belonging, your sonship, Lord, your spirit, Lord, your inheritance, God, your future, God, your dreams, God. I pray that right now you will just impart it. You will flood them with your presence, with your love, with your purpose in their life, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, as they today choose to respond to your call, Lord. You embrace them with everything. You don't keep anything back. They don't have a cooking clue what they're doing when they're giving you their life, Lord, but you have already given them everything, Lord. And I thank you, God, that from this day on, you will teach them. You will show them what it means to be a child, a child of God, a son of God, what it means to be accepted, to be loved, to have a purpose and a calling, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will fill them afresh, anew, overflow them, Lord, that they will never doubt your word and your voice again. Lord, I pray that they will know you and your love and your presence in Jesus' name. And so, God, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we leave this place, Lord, we will not leave the same, but we will leave with an expectation. We will leave with an expectation to see the harvest come, not because of what we see, but because of what you say. You say the harvest is white. It's ready. Lord, I pray that you will send us, use us, open our eyes, our ears, and give us the willingness to be used by you. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you with an expectation that you may rejoice with those who've been sowing faithfully, as you may see the harvest come in, faithfully sowing until you see the harvest coming in. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.